This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings, and welcome to our lesson again today. We're glad you've tuned us in. And again, if you would like to get in touch with me, you can do so through my website or through regular mail, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program if you want to write them down. Remember, this program can be re-listened to on my website, and you can read a weekly meditation there as well as testimonies, questions and answers, and some other things that you might find interesting. Now, I'm coming to you today from the Atlanta, Georgia area. I came down here to be closer to some family and to work with some churches in this area, but yet I can record and put on the internet my thoughts with regard to these prophecies of the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the New Testament, and I'm glad I can do that. The weather down here has not exactly been normal Atlanta area weather. We're living in Norcross, Georgia, and this has not been exactly Atlanta area weather. My kids live in Roswell. Norcross is just a little ways from Roswell, and Roswell is a west suburb of Atlanta. So, well, I came down here to get away from it all, and I'm not sure that we did, but today and this week looks like we're going to be enjoying 50 and 60 degree temperatures, so you can eat your hearts out, although I know it's warmer in Iowa now than it was when we left. We had record temperatures, and there was a lot of problems because of it. But today I want to look at the Lord Jesus again. I'm really trying to fulfill this statement of Peter when he closes the record in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, kind of his last words where he says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And in order to grow in grace, we have to know the Lord Jesus, because he is, of course, full of grace while at the same time being full of truth. Some of us give up truth in order to show what we think is grace, but the Lord never did that. And so as we're looking at the Lord and trying to understand him, we've been looking at all of these prophecies that were given in the Old Testament and that are fulfilled in the New. And today we're going to come to the 31st one, where the Messiah would be crucified with criminals. We've looked at the last time how that he was hated without a cause, and that one really boggles my mind, that the Lord would do good and yet people would hate him. And we know that even when he was delivered to Pilate to be crucified, Pilate knew that it was because of envy that the chief priests and the rulers had delivered him. Pilate had been warned by his own wife to have nothing to do with that just man. She suffered many things in a dream because of him the night before his crucifixion. So Pilate knew he was innocent, and yet the religious rulers wouldn't accept the fact that the people were following him instead of them. And so you may think we know something about bullying today, but the Lord experienced it. And I've often wondered why the Lord didn't call those 12 legions of angels that he had at his disposal and just destroy the people who were so against him. But he had created each one of us. He created them, and we know that while he did not justify their actions, you can't create something without having a great deal of respect and honor and even love for what you created. And he had created every person that comes into this world. I don't understand how he has done that. He's put certain principles in motion, but the ability to procreate and to make a new person over and over and over again is in the providence of the Lord Jesus himself. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so he loved his creation, and he didn't call the 12 legions of angels. Instead, he was willing to say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And we know that the first application with regard to that statement was to the Jewish or to the Roman soldiers that crucified him, but we know the application goes far beyond that. We've all, in some way or another, denied the Lord. We have all offended him. We have all sinned against him, but instead of destroying us, he died for us at the cross of Calvary so that he could be just and maintain the truth while at the same time showing grace. And that attitude that he showed to those who hated him without a cause is just something that I do not understand. I couldn't have done it myself, but the Lord was willing to bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Now today we're going to look at the fact that the Messiah would be crucified with criminals. That was foretold in Isaiah 53 and 12, where we read that I will look at it here so I get it right. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So we're going to see that he died with criminals, but in dying with criminals, he was also interceding for those criminals who died there. And of course, our minds immediately go to the two robbers who were crucified beside him. Mark 15, verse 27 says, and with him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right hand and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. So Mark makes reference to this scripture in Isaiah, which was written about 700 years before the Lord was crucified. He makes reference to it and recognizes that that scripture is now being fulfilled. And I want to read some of the scripture from Luke 23 about these two criminals, because it's really a story of miraculous mercy and grace. And it shows us how God brings us into his kingdom. In Luke 23 and verse 39, it says, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? Now, if you read all the Gospels, you'll find out that both of these criminals started out reviling the Lord or criticizing the Lord, but apparently one of them came to his senses. If we were reading about the prodigal son, there it would say he came to himself. So one of them changed his mind, and he rebuked the first one, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation or judgment? And he admits his sin. He says, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And again, you see that even the thieves on the cross knew the Lord was not being crucified justly. They could see that he had not done anything wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And that has to be a statement of faith, if there ever was one, because the Lord's dying on a cross, and yet this man seems to understand that the Lord is going to have a kingdom. And of course, that's going to be a physical kingdom. And this thief, by trusting in the Lord, came into a spiritual kingdom immediately. And you'll notice Jesus said to him, this day, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, this is what we call an 11th hour conversion. This particular story illustrates a couple of things. One, it illustrates that salvation is by grace, through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. This thief could not go back. This thief who went to paradise could not go back and make things right with those he'd stolen from. He couldn't make things right with anyone. All he could do is confess his sin and turned to the Lord Jesus for mercy, and the Lord had mercy upon him. We understand that while sin is against our fellow man, ultimately all sin is against God. And it's only God that can truly forgive sins, and he forgave a man who didn't deserve to be forgiven, and truthfully, everyone who ends up in heaven is going to be there because of the mercy and the grace of God, and they don't deserve to be there. Many people think they can earn their way to heaven by being good. Well, this man certainly couldn't, and yet he's going to be in heaven, and many of those good people who are trying to earn their way to heaven are going to be cast out. It's going to be said of them, "We have eaten and drunk in your presence, and we have done in your name done many wonderful works." And the Lord is going to say to them, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." And so a sinner who comes to the Lord for mercy is saved by grace through faith, and many who are trying to do good works will be shut out because they never had the sin in their lives forgiven, and every one of us has sin in our lives. So that's a very interesting story, and we see a great division here. There's a man who's saved, and there's a man who's lost. Both are in exactly the same position. Both had exactly the same opportunity, and one went down to his death in a rebellious fashion, and the other went down to his death in a repentant fashion. One went to paradise or heaven, and one went directly to hell. And we just have to stop there. There's no other way to say this. We don't like speaking about it, but that is what happened, and it all happened because of the attitudes, a difference in their attitudes toward this one who was dying on the middle cross. The middle cross divided believers from unbelievers. And again, there are those who wonder what it means to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. And what it really means is that the Holy Spirit convicts each of us of our sin. And when we reject that conviction, we will reject the Lord, and we are blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. And in my mind, the illustration is in the case of the rebellious criminal on the cross. He blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was trying to convince him, just as he was trying to convince the other man, of his need of a Savior, and he turned away from it. And blaspheming in that way can never be forgiven, because that means you're rejecting the love of God. You're rejecting what Christ is doing to save sinners. But the other man, he rebelled against the Lord Jesus. He blasphemed against the Lord to start with, but he changed his mind. And that kind of blasphemy can be forgiven. If we say something against the Lord and change our mind and come to him in simple, trusting faith, he will forgive, and thank God for that. So we see that the Lord interceded for these two transgressors, and it fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy, and one of those transgressors died unsaved, and one of those transgressors died saved, and the Lord, in dying on that cross, interceded for the transgressors, and he intercedes for us. Have we trusted him and been forgiven? Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today and bless those who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.